Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 130. And it's a Monday, March 11th, 2019. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, welcome everyone to the show where we talk about gay news, geek stories, and bizarre topics. Ray, we had a full weekend. We had a fun weekend.
Yeah, we did. It was pretty busy.
It was pretty busy. So, yeah, our friends Mike and Palima came from Denver and visited us. Stayed at our place for a while, and we went to Thai Spice Buffet with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Okay, so to everyone there, Thai Spice Buffet, we have a couple of Thai Spice restaurants here, and there's one that is a buffet on Westheimer, and it's actually our default surprise birthday party.
Well, it used to be. Nobody goes there anymore because it's not as good as it used to be.
Yeah, that's right. So many years ago, whenever there's a birthday party or... somebody's birthday, and it would say, "Hey, let's have a surprise party. Let's do it at Thai Spice Buffet." And then, so that's our default buffet place. It was really good back then. What do you think of last weekend, though? Was it any good?
Thai gourmet is much better.
Okay, next time we'll try that.
And much better eye candy.
Oh, it's the eye candy. That's right. There's not much eye candy. There's more eye candy for us. There were a couple of bears there that evening.
Yeah, no, I didn't see those.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. Well, you missed a trip to Cloud 10. Is it Cloud 9? Instead of Cloud 9, it's Cloud 10. It's an ice cream house in the Heights. That was pretty good. We enjoyed that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. I didn't need the sugar. I'm diabetic, and I'm trying to lose weight, and my friends are helping me.
Should have done... What? Yeah, just like people who leave chocolates at in your kitchen, right?
I know.
After that, we went to George's Bar. It was kind of hopping that week, that evening, because this weekend is actually Louis weekend. Let us entertain you. We used to talk about this in our old show back then, and in every weekend after Mardi Gras is when there's a celebration of a lot of gay organizations in Houston. And they get together called Let Us Entertain You Weekend. So it's Louis Weekend. And it happens here in Houston. It happens at the bars. People go to Tony's Corner Pocket, to Neon Boots, to Ripcord, to The Eagle, and George's. I don't think George's participates anymore. But anyway, so we were there at George's just hanging out with a couple of friends and people who we haven't seen for some time. And it was kind of a reunion. Yeah, so we hung out there. It's pretty good. And we didn't just stay for one beer, and then we had to go home because we're old. Ray, we're getting old. So after eating, after one beer, everybody just goes home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, welcome to your new life.
That's right. I'm getting old. What about you? You're going to the country. You went to the country for a while.
I went to the country. I went out to Waller.
You went to Waller, Texas. Waller, Texas, where there are chickens and horses.
Yeah, I went to the chicken ranch.
You went to the chicken ranch. A literal one, right? It's a literal
one. Literal. Chicken ranch,
so. Yeah, so you got some eggs. Thank you. Thank you, Patrick and Jerry. It's awesome. And then, so I'm going to try some eggs tomorrow morning. That'd be awesome.
Yep.
And then it's a Marvel movie. What do you think?
Captain Marvel. I liked it.
We watched Captain Marvel. So before that, there was a tribute to Stan Lee, of course. That was pretty good. There was a big, a collage or a,
they changed the intro logo to
all Stan Lee. And it was pretty good. We enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it?
I did.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's pretty good with the story. And it was really confusing in the beginning. And then it all made sense later on. So... In the comic books, was she really human?
Yes.
She was really human. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was good. I enjoyed it. It was good. It was a good movie, and I highly recommend it. Watch it in the theaters. You know what I haven't seen yet is How to Train Your Dragon. Have you
seen it? Yep, I haven't seen that either.
Ah, okay. Maybe we'll watch it one of these days. All right.
Yeah, I haven't been going to the movie too much. It's kind of expensive anymore. I got a wedding to pay for.
Oh, really? We should really go on Tuesdays, because that's when they have the cheap $8 ones or $6 ones.
Oh, okay.
We should try that next time on a Tuesday. So we must forego our expensive steaks on steak night. Do we still do that?
Well, we don't do steak night anymore. They don't do it.
You don't anymore? We don't do steak night anymore on Tuesdays?
They don't do steak night anymore.
Yeah. So instead of that, we could probably spend our $8 or $6 on a cheaper movie on AMC. I think that's what they do now, right? It's cheaper on Tuesday, remember?
I don't know.
Yeah, you check it out. Might be more economical that way.
I have to sit at home and wait on my husband to get home, so I wouldn't know anything about that.
Oh, really? Okay. All right, let's go to our stories, Ray. What's the first story, Ray? What is the gay story?
Okay. HIV-positive man in UK is second known adult worldwide to be cleared of the AIDS virus. And I think by the time we published this, they had a third one that popped up. So.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a story from last week. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. An HIV-positive man in Britain has become the second known adult worldwide to be cleared of the AIDS virus after he received a bone marrow transplant from an HIV-resistant donor, his doctor said. Almost 3 years after receiving bone marrow stem cells from a donor with a rare genetic mutation that resists HIV infection, and more than 18 months after coming off antiretroviral drugs, highly sensitive tests still show no trace of the man's previous HIV infection. There's no virus there that we can measure. We can't detect anything, said a professor at HIV biologist who co-led a team of doctors treating the man. The case is proof of the concept that scientists will one day be able to end AIDS, the doctor said, but this does not mean a cure for HIV has been found. The doctor described his patient as functionally cured and in remission, but cautioned, it is too early to say he's cured. The man being called the London patient in part because his case is similar to the first known case of a functional cure for HIV, an American man, Timothy Brown, who became known as the Berlin patient when he underwent similar treatment in Germany in 2007, which also cleared his HIV. Brown, who had been living in Berlin, has since moved to the United States and, according to HIV experts, is still HIV free. So that's what, 2007? That's almost 11 years now.
Yeah. Took that long.
Yeah. So some 37 million people worldwide are currently infected with HIV, and the AIDS pandemic has killed around 35 million people worldwide since it began in the 1980s. Scientific research into the complex virus has in recent years led to the development of drug combinations that can keep it at bay in most patients. The professor at Cambridge University treated the London patient when he was working at the University of College London. The man had contracted HIV in 2003, the doctor said, and in 2012 was also diagnosed with a type of blood cancer called Hodgkin's lymphoma. In 2016, when he was very sick with cancer, doctors decided to seek a transplant match for him. This was really his last chance for survival, the doctor told Reuters in an interview. The donor, who was unrelated, had a genetic mutation known as CCR5 Delta 32, which confers resistance to HIV. The transplant went relatively smoothly, the doctor said, but there were some side effects, including the patient suffering a period of graft versus host disease, a condition in which the donor immune cells attack the recipient's immune cells.
Wow.
Most experts say it's inconceivable such treatments could be a way of curing all patients. The procedure is expensive, complex, and risky. To do this and others, exact match donors would have to be found in the tiny proportion of people, most of them Northern European descent, who have the CCR5 mutation that makes them resistant to the virus. Specialists said it is also not yet clear whether the CCR5 resistance is the only key or whether the graft versus host disease may have just been as important. Both the Berlin and London patients had this complication, which may have been played a role in the loss of HIV-infected cells, the doctor said. Interview with NBC, Dr. Anthony Fauci said the finding was not unexpected, given that similar type of transplant was done before with Brown, but that is not a scalable, feasible way to treat HIV. This is something that was done under very special circumstances of an individual who had Hodgkin's disease and needed a bone marrow transplant for his underlying cancer-like disease, said the doctor, who's the director of the Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, part of the National Institutes of Health. The miss precipitation that
perception, misperception.
The misperception that floating out there now is that bone marrow transplantation is a cure for HIV, and that is completely untrue. In Fauci's view, the priority should be getting patients access to the extremely efficacious medications that we have. The treatment called pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP, is more than 99% effective in preventing infection if the patients take the medication every day. An overwhelming majority of the people, you would bring the virus to below detectable levels that would save the life of the individual, as well as make it impossible for that person to spread the virus to someone else, Fauci said.
Okay.
They also shared an article today, I think it's around lunchtime on the page, about that they, for PrEP, they are coming shots. So you don't have to take the pills every day. You go in and take shots on a regular basis. So that's the next thing that's in trial and coming out.
Well, that'll be good. Probably we can all avail of that, because pills every day is really
hard. So it's good that they have, especially for younger people who don't have to regularly depend on taking pills. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah.
Eventually, I'll see it probably be something like a Norplant, where they just implant the thing in there and you're good for a year, and then you have to go have it replaced every year.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So about this patient, though. So both the Berlin and the London patients were recipients of bone marrow transplants.
Transplants, yes.
Yes. But then they're saying it is a proof of concept, they're saying, which I agree. From these are bone marrow transplants coming from HIV resistant patients. So, but then they're saying that bone marrow transplant is not a cure. It's not. They cannot say that it is really the ultimate cure for HIV. Which is,
well, no, they're saying that these people have a genetic makeup that they've got the bone marrow from that is resistant to HIV.
Yeah. I understand. So, no. What I'm saying is there's a misperception that getting a bone marrow transplantation from people who are resistant to HIV is not the cure.
No, it is not the cure.
It is not the cure. However, it's hard to say that it's easy to say that it is. I mean, because there are two cases in a span of 11 years that a bone marrow transplant just so happened was done on an HIV patient, and it cured them of HIV, or they went down to HIV and undetectable HIV.
Yeah, but both these patients have had Hodgkin's lymphoma, so they had cancer. So there's a bunch of factors that are playing effect in there.
That's right. It could be their medication for their cancer that may have helped in this.
They're saying it's, they're not exactly sure what caused the HIV to go in remission. They're still studying it to try to figure out what happened. And
there's just too many
from
factors.
That, maybe they can make some genetic material that can be used to make people resistant to the HIV virus and maybe help cure the HIV virus. So they're going in the right direction. Let's just hope they can get it done.
Okay, so let's go sci-fi on this one. So what happens to these guys who are bone marrow transplants? Do you think people has cloned them already at this point, and probably in the future some evil scientist or some billionaire scientists who want to clone these and make them grow and harvest them for their bone marrow? I don't know. There's always a possibility, right?
But,
I mean,
well, I'm sure that it can be applied to stem cell research, since stem cells can be turned into anything. So it might be a good chance that they can take this bone marrow with this genetic predisposition to resist HIV infection and be able to build on that to hopefully something more viable and much less expensive.
Yeah, which makes sense. You're right, because it makes sense that you don't have to do bone marrow, because extracting bone marrow is really difficult. But what if it's just a simple stem cell, right? They use the host bone marrow and create something from a stem cell, maybe a cartilage or something that would be, or some other organ that can be transplanted to someone, and it could be by itself be the cure. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, well, the whole reason I do in bone marrow, because that's what produces the blood. So other organs don't produce blood,
Yeah.
so.
Okay. So interesting that I hope we get more stories like this. It may be it's a good story. It's just and there may be light at the end of the tunnel, but at the same time we should be cautious. We should be also ethical when we do these things. So like I said, my theory earlier about clones. Okay, so let us go to the geek. Our geek is wait a second, I'm getting a message from someone here. I'm getting it from Ray. What's going on, Ray? Anyway, so here's a story from Biz Journals. Okay, so it says here, Inside the Deal. Okay, we've been talking about this. I posted this on Growler, and I have things to say about this. Okay, so Inside the Deal, why the Meet group, that's the group, it's a chat group. A chat app group, I mean. They bought the gay dating app Growler. Yes, they bought Growler. New Hope based. The Meet group is expanding its portfolio of dating apps once again and announcing in the announced Wednesday, it's acquired gay dating app Growler for $11.8 million. So Growler, a more niche a competitor of well-known gay dating app Grindr will join Meet's existing portfolio of MeetMe, Scout, Tagged, and Lovoo, the most popular dating app in German-speaking countries. Meet, that's the name of the group, okay, Meet, MEET. So Meet announced the Growler acquisition ahead of its Q4 and full year 2018 earnings call Wednesday when it saw $178.6 million in total revenue, a 44% jump from 2017. Meet's been in talks with Growler for more than a year, and Cook said the acquisition is part of its goal to expand into different audiences it doesn't already serve. Yes, the gay bear ones, right, Ray? So the app, which counts about 200,000 global daily active users, came at a good value, he added. And once Meet integrates its live video features into Growler, he believes it will be the first gay dating app in the country to do so, and growth should follow. Growler has just two employees who will join Meet. Exactly, and we know those guys. We hung out with those guys. Their name is Coley and Frank. Anyway, okay. So while Grindr is the leading player in the gay dating space, Cook said there are a number of other apps of scale in the market serving specific niches like Growler, and they often have higher engagement rates than apps not focused on LGBTQ users. So Growler, we interviewed Coley back then. Coley Comiskey is the CEO of Growler, and he's been at it for I don't know more than 10 years now. I guess that's where. Growler is, and back then we were doing Bear Podcast, and I interviewed Coley on Bear Podcast many years ago. We did a video stream back then, and I was talking to Coley about Growler app, and it really became big. And Growler has been very helpful for many bear groups, including the Houston Bears, helping us in Bear Watch back then, I remember, and also helping the fundraisers like bear events like TBRU. That was awesome. And yeah, I actually just a couple of days ago I did chat with Coley briefly, and he did say that yeah, he was really excited. Looks like they're really really excited about being bought. I mean, Ray, that is a an IT professional, an IT pro a mobile app CEO or an owner of a mobile app, that's the dream of an IT professional, to be bought by a bigger company and get millions and millions of dollars. $11.8 million, that's nothing to laugh at. It's,
Yeah.
yeah, so it's great.
That's a lot of Porsches.
That's right. Oh, yeah. I think he bought a Porsche before, I remember. That's what you get when you get a good running app like that. So congratulations to Coley and Frank. It's awesome. It's just funny. They actually said here, Growler has two employees who will join me. That's pretty cheap to get two people to work for them. That's awesome. Anyway, congratulations to Coley and Frank. Thank you for your service as Growler. I hope their video chatting service that will be integrated into Growler would boost your what do you call this? Your audience or your subscribers. That'd be awesome. I'm sure they're going to think of something more. You know, of all the apps, you've used apps, dating apps before, Ray. Is there anything similar to what Coley did with the Growler did with the Shouts? Remember? Ray? Hello? Oh, I thought I lost you there.
Sorry, you cut out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my question was are there apps? You've used other dating apps before. Was there anything similar to Shouts that is propagated by Growler?
No, I don't think so. Everyone's got their own little niche thing that they do. So
yeah, you know. Yeah. So I'm saying Growler is the only one that has, as far as I know, if you can pay $5, if you can broadcast, if you want to broadcast to 1,000 mile radius or 5 mile radius for $5, and you can even expand that radius. And of course, it could pay up to $50 maybe if you want to cover the whole world or something like that. But I think Growler is the only one that has that. So I think that made him popular too. Yeah. Growler. So
and it's going to be getting used a lot this weekend.
Oh, because of TBRU.
Yep.
In Dallas, most probably, yeah. Okay, Ray. So, again, congratulations to Growler for being sold to a bigger company. Okay, let's go to the Bizarre Ray.
Yeah, Cully, you need to come to Houston and ride us around in your Porsche.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, on to the Bizarre. Parents of a deceased West Point military cadet want to save his sperm. So far, the court has said yes, they can. A cadet at the U.S. Military Academy West Point received fatal injuries in a ski accident last month. Days later, a state Supreme Court judge granted his parents' petition to save their son's sperm in order to continue his legacy in the family lineage. Another skier found 21-year-old Peter Zhu unresponsive on a ski slope on the academy grounds in upstate New York on February 23rd. According to a school news release, he was airlifted to Westchester Medical Center, where doctors determined that Zhu's spinal cord was fractured, and he was declared mentally brain dead 3 days later, court documents say. Zhu's parents of Concord, California, filed a petition Friday morning pleading with the court to allow the hospital to proceed with a sperm retrieval procedure on their son's body. He always wanted to live on a ranch and raise a family and have horses, his parents say in their petition. More than his wishes to become a father, Peter is the only male child to continue the Zhu family lineage. His parents attribute this mostly to China's one-child policy, which forced his uncles each to have only one daughter. The petition says, "This is our one and only chance of fulfilling Peter's wishes and preserving his incredible legacy," the petition says. Westchester Medical Center doctors were hesitant but willing to perform the procedure if the family could get a court to authorize it, according to the petition. The medical workers were extremely kind and understanding, it says. Court proceedings were under a time constraint because Zhu, who is an organ donor, was being kept on life support for an organ donor removal procedure scheduled for Friday. New York Supreme Court Judge John Colangelo granted the request 2 hours after it was filed Friday morning.
Yeah, Colangelo.
Colangelo. Colangelo's motion said that the reproductive material should be stored at a sperm bank or other facility of the family's choosing until the court could conclusively decide on the matter. The family's lawyer declined to confirm whether the procedure went ahead as requested or whether the Zhu remains on life support. Zhu did not respond to a request for comment. Peter was the love of our lives. He has brought us more joy, pride, and happiness than words can say, his parents said in the petition. The Academy is investigating the details surrounding the skiing incident, according to the release. So the Ethics Committee for American Society for Reproductive Medicine released guidance on posthumous retrieval for reproduction in 2018. Such a procedure is considered ethically justified if there's written documentation authorizing the procedure from the deceased, but medical programs are not obligated according to the guidance. In situations in which the deceased doesn't have a surviving spouse, the committee calls it troubling and says that the surviving parent doesn't have an ethical claim to their child's reproductive materials because they would not have been involved in a reproductive effort with their child.
That's right.
As a spouse or partner traditionally would. Peter Zhu did not leave instructions on his or wishes other than organ donor mandate on his license, according to court documents. The Zeus family legal team argues in the petition that being Peter's next of kin should be enough for his parents to have the right to continue their son's legacy. In 2007, a court in Johnson City, Iowa, decided the parents of a man who died in a motorcycle accident could retrieve their son's sperm for reproductive purposes, court records show. For the Zeus, another hearing is scheduled for March 21st in New York Supreme Court, Westchester County. A West Point Community Memorial celebrating Zoo was held on Tuesday, and the private funeral service will be held Thursday. So, basically, his mom and dad asked for his sperm because he was the only male heir left in the family. And I assume that mom and dad are going to try to get a host.
A surrogate mother, good host. Okay, not a host. But
no, I don't think the mother should be the host. I mean, well, depending on her age.
No, a surrogate mother.
His mother. But get a surrogate woman a woman to be the surrogate for his sperm and donate an egg so that they can carry his legacy on.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to look for a woman to do that.
Why? A lot of women do surrogacies.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. Maybe. Okay, let's put it this way. It's going to be expensive. Because I know...
Well, yeah, it's going to be expensive.
Extremely expensive. Because I know a couple, a gay couple, who did it through surrogacy, and they're the ones who provided the sperm also. And it cost them $150,000 to have their son. And everything, I'm just not talking about donor and also the surrogate mother, but also the legal fees.
There's going to be a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah,
there,
so. You're giving up your.
It's going to be a challenge for them to start with.
Yeah, the mother is giving up this, and they're not going to be going after the gay couple. You know, that those kind of things. It's really complicated, but like I said, it costs a lot. It's gonna they're a Chinese family. Maybe they're rich. I'm just assuming.
Well, he was going to West Point, and I don't think West Point's cheap.
Oh, okay. It's kind of it's a little unsettling though that everybody there in the at West Point, and you know he has classmates and everything, and they know how the guy is dying or died and how he died and everything, but everybody now knows because it's in the news. Everybody knows that they extracted his sperm just to preserve his legacy. So
yeah, but I mean this is all new technology that couldn't have been done years ago. So if this would have happened maybe 20, 30 years ago, or maybe even 15 years ago, 20 years ago, their family line and name would have been gone.
Yeah. So how do you extract sperm though? They actually cut off the balls or something?
I'm sure they.
I would imagine they.
No, I think they insert a needle into the scrotum and suck it out of the balls with a needle.
That's, yeah, we should research that, Ray. Anyway, so it's just intriguing. How do they extract this?
Well, all right, you come over tomorrow night and I'll get a needle and we'll see if it works.
Okay, we can probably do that. We'll see. Okay. All right, so I hope you guys enjoyed the articles and it's nice to talk about it. It's really interesting. Okay, so if you want to check out the stories that we've been posting, it's on Facebook, facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, and go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next show. Bye.